What we're going to be talking about is how to take control of that process of how you track and reach your travel writing goals. But I would love to hear where you guys are at right now. So I see the numbers of folks in the call keep changing a little bit. So if you're just joining us, let us know what, if any, big travel writing goal you have right now. So it's interesting because as people are posting these, I'm seeing some that we often think of as goals, things that are in fact projects. And this is something that I actually didn't have on the docket to talk about today, but specifically, but as you'll see as we get going, that's something that you're going to start to isolate. So how many of you, also let us know on the chat box, how many of you joined us for the annual review webinar series where we talked a lot about setting goals that you could achieve for the year ahead and especially making sure that they were the ones that really mattered to you, that would really get you going. So let us know in the chat box if you joined us for the annual review webinar series, and I'll cruise through and see some of these goals that you guys are posting as well. We've got get recurring clients. That's a great one. Getting your blog up. That's kind of one of those ones that's a bit more of a project. Someone else has a solid portfolio. That's also something that it's kind of a mix of a goal and a project if you think about it, right? Alina's got one, getting my first clip and first client. Those are two goals. Someone's got, I want to understand whether multiple submissions are best. I feel like that could be either just a research project or an experiment. Someone else has getting my first feature. She's been writing a lot of front of book pieces. Someone else, it seems like she's trying to get answers to her pitches. Someone else wants to write for trade magazines. Great. Negotiating, that's another great one. Seems like a couple of you have been on the annual reviews, but not too many of you. That's great. So we did talk about goals in the annual reviews, and I'm not going to duplicate what we talked about during that, but that was more about setting your goals specifically for this year, this coming year, around what is going on for you this year. What we're going to talk about today is more in line with the process and taking control, particularly. That's what this whole series is about. The process of tracking and reaching the goals that you've set. But we're also going to look a little bit about what those goals should be. So you may have heard me say last week or in one of the newsletters that I'm just back from getting my professional coaching certification. I actually have a certified executive coach certificate now. And I'm going to introduce you guys to a really interesting framework that we came up with when I was at this certification program that I think is particularly useful for why a lot of you are having, there's got to be a reason for that, right? But you probably don't know what it is. And the thing is that it can be really hard in a vacuum without a coach or a mentor or somebody like that. Like I said, if you don't have a coach or a mentor or an accountability group that has a really good foundation in the types of things that keep you from reaching your goals, right? So that's like a big ask, and not everybody has a mentor or accountability group that does that, right? That specializes in that. So if you don't have that, it can be really hard to tell why your efforts to reach your goals aren't working. So before we get into the tracking and what kind of goals you might want to look at setting, I want to talk about how to figure out why the goals that you have right now or in the future, why your goals aren't working out, why what you're doing isn't getting you there. So that's going to be the first thing we're going to talk about. And then we're going to look at a specific method of both setting up your goals themselves and also your path to get there. And because everybody always wants to know the how, I've got some really cool techniques that I'm going to show you. One I've mentioned a lot before, and one is something that it's an app. It does cost money. It only costs $37. I'm not getting any affiliate payment on it, but a friend of mine started it, and it's quite cool and endorsed by some very big people. So I highly recommend it, and it's going to fix a lot of the things that I know many of you personally struggle with in terms of keeping your ideas present. Well, I asked you earlier if you have some goals, some specific goals that you might have in mind that you're working towards in your freelance travel writing, but now I want to know, this whole series is about taking control of your freelance business. So now I want to know how in control you feel of your goals. It can be of your ability to reach them or of your ability to make them come true, something like that. But how in control do you feel of the goals with your freelance travel writing? I'm seeing a lot of people say about 50%, and I happen to know some of the folks who are saying that, and I think that that's probably a good solid number for them and where they are. I'd love to hear from more of you. How in control do you feel? Yeah, Jake made a really great point. He says he feels like it's all up to the external forces, and Leslie says not at all. And this is actually something that I find people say a lot. And this was one of the reasons that I wrote the six-figure travel writing roadmap in the first place, was when you, especially if you're just getting started with travel writing and learning about it and all the things there are to do right now, like video is huge. Everyone is always saying like, why write for magazines? They're dying. There's just so much stuff going on, people telling you which way to go. And so it's really easy to have too many things that you're trying to do, and also to feel like the industry changes so fast that even if you try to do something, that it's not going to make sense. So let's see what some people are saying. Getting a grip on the steering wheel, but not fully in control. That's great. And someone else said other goals take precedence at the moment. And that's a really important one to notice, because I definitely have some people that I coach who I've seen have a situation like this where they say that they want to do something in particular with their travel writing, or maybe it's even vaguer, right? Like maybe they are freelance generally, like they work for themselves, but they make money here and there doing different things. And they say they want to do it from travel writing, but they aren't actually putting in the specific marketing work. And they usually say that they don't have the time. And then they just keep saying that they feel bad because they're not doing these things. But it comes back to exactly what Lenora said, that they have other goals at the moment that take precedence. And that's a really important thing to single in on if you're having trouble reaching your goals. So there's three factors that we're going to look at, but this is a really good way to think of it. If you don't have control over your goals, believe that you're going about reaching them the right way, or think that you're getting enough feedback about whether you're doing it right or not, you're going to burn out on the process of goal setting, on even thinking about your goals, which is going to make you burn on out actually doing the work. Because if you can't give yourself a why, a reason, a really tantalizing like ice cream sundae at the end of this path that you're on, why on earth would you continue down it, right? So here's the way I want you guys to think of this, okay? There is a block of ice that is between you and what we're going to talk about later, which is the path to reach your goals. But right now, there's a block of ice between you and that path. And every so often, there's going to be another block of ice. Like maybe it's a ship and you're an iceberg and there's just icebergs all along the way. And every time there is an iceberg, you have to melt it to keep going. Okay, we can start thinking about global warming or whatever, but just think about it that there's these blocks of ice in your way and you would take you forever to cut through them. You just want to melt them. You can't go around them. So, what are those blocks of ice composed of? Three things, and these are like kind of big, jargony words. So, I'm going to spell out what they are for you. But the one side is inefficiency, or sorry, inefficacy. This is spelled corrected for me. Inefficacy is when you don't believe that you know how to do something, okay? When you don't believe that you're doing something well. So, this is for all of you who feel like you're pitching and not getting anywhere. You feel like your pitching is pointless because clearly like it's not happening. So you lack in efficacy, okay? That's the big part of your iceberg. Another one is cynicism. So cynicism is related, right? It seems like it's the belief that you're not doing it right, but it's actually more about being skeptical, okay? It's more about getting this feeling like there's something going on that you don't understand. Can you guys feel that difference? It's kind of like that thing where maybe you're pitching and you think that what you're pitching is fine, but people aren't responding. And rather than just thinking, okay, well, I don't think I'm doing this right, instead you think, well, somebody told me to do it this way and this isn't working. So then you're cynical about the method that you've been taught, okay? So you're lacking feedback that you're doing it right, okay? So exhaustion, this is one that I'm sure a number of us can empathize with, but exhaustion isn't just physical. It's also exhaustion at having work that's too much, that feels like you're not going anywhere, or generally comes from a lack of control. So let's look at a couple other things that play into this, okay? So, stupid spell correct. So inefficacy could come from a lack of purpose. So if you're in that point where you feel overwhelmed with all sorts of different things that you could do, overwhelm is over here in exhaustion. What I mean by lack of purpose is that you don't really know why you're doing it. You don't feel like there's a reason. You don't really feel like there's a point to you in this great big world of travel writing. You feel like if you just stop doing it, then nobody will notice. I'm sure a lot of us feel like that about our writing. Another one is lack of sufficient challenge. I see this a lot for people who are doing low paid work, like maybe $20 a pop blog post for somewhere that they could just bang out without even thinking. So you have a lack of efficacy because you're not working to your full potential, and that starts to grind away at you at a while. And they're all related. Like, it grinds away at your confidence. It grinds away at, you know, it makes you exhausted. They're all kind of related, okay? So lack of impact is similar. Lack of impact is when you feel like you're doing something and maybe you're getting paid for it, like maybe it's blog posts, or you could be doing something like sended pitches, but you feel like that act, that thing that you're doing, just has no bearing on reaching your actual goal. And lack of acknowledgement is one that I see a lot of you guys who have freelance clients struggle with. I had a whole call with a coaching client the other day that was about this, about how she's gotten some travel content marketing gigs on her own, and her clients, you know, maybe they respond that they got the post and they just sort of say thanks. You know, maybe it has a period at the end, maybe not, maybe it's capitalized, maybe not. And she has no idea if her posts are good or not, right? And that's also a lack of effective feedback, but they're two sides of the same coin, right? If people aren't even acknowledging that you're doing something, then you really start to wonder whether you need to be doing it, if you're doing it okay. It creates all these questions. Now, the cynicism piece is one that I think is often overlooked, but is another one of these causes of work burnout, goal burnout, that I want you to be more cognizant of. So especially in here, we've got insufficient reward. So this is sort of similar when I was saying to, you know, folks that are doing $20 blog posts, you might feel like you've got a lack of challenge on that or a lack of impact, but insufficient reward is a huge one there, right? Because you might be spending, you know, 2 hours or 4 hours on a blog post that you get paid $20 for, or if you have your own blog that you're trying to use to an end, like you think it'll get you in front of editors, or you want to turn it into a money-making enterprise, then you definitely have insufficient reward there because you're not getting paid anything, right? And you don't exactly know how it's going to pan out. So that's one that people in the cynicism category tend to think about. But another one is culture misfit and the related value conflict. So what if you're working for a company, you're doing some travel writing, you're doing some blog posts, and the way that they run their company or the stuff that they are doing, you know, out in the field or how they work with their clients is just not the way that you'd want to do it. You don't love that you work for a company that does things like that. Or perhaps it's just the fact that they don't give feedback and you're a person who used to teach and you understand the value of feedback. There's all these different ways that the values and the culture of the places that you might be writing for or bloggers you're collaborating with or, you know, people that you're trying to pitch and having these issues with. There's all these ways that that in and of itself can create burnout for you. And I know people tend to think about, especially when you're freelancing and when you're new to freelancing, if you are trying to work with somebody and you're running into issues like this, there's a sense of either feeling like it's your fault or it's their fault. So you can either say it's external forces that are keeping me from reaching my goal. You know, this person's like this, they're crazy, I just can't work with them. Like, how could I possibly do any more in this setting? Or you could feel like, you know, I'm trying my best to work with this person, but it just seems like they don't like anything I do or respect me because they're always telling me this. And that's the exact opposite of how I work. And I don't understand why they can't see how I work. And why can't they work on my same level? Because if they respected me, they would do that. But these things are actually culture misfits. And you'll notice that people who have been freelancing for a long time tend to say no a lot more. And part of that is the act of practicing saying no. But part of it is also having a really good sense of what fits them. And this is something that you develop over time, of course, from trying to work with people. But you can also look at the work cultures that you've had before and know what work cultures work for you and which ones don't. and what fits and what makes you uncomfortable, and be proactively looking for those things in your engagement. Now, as I mentioned, exhaustion is a little more than just, you know, physical exhaustion, but there's some very specific things that can lead into that, that can kind of shore up the ice in our ice cube. So overwhelm is one we talk about a lot. Overwhelm can be overwhelm of options, but overwhelm can also just be like too many things on your plate that have to get done that often don't have anything to do with travel writing. But another one that I want you to pay particular attention to is unrealistic work expectations that you might be putting on yourself about your travel writing. So say you have a blog that you have to maintain for some reason, like you have an audience of a certain size, or you have contracts that you have to fulfill. There's a lot that can go into running a blog, but what do you actually have to be doing? What are the marketing activities that actually specifically create tangible impact for your blog? How many posts, or what type of posts, or what length of posts are actually driving that impact, are actually due to the people that you have created partnerships with or that you owe posts to? And what past that are you doing? Because you've just created an expectation for yourself that you have to do all the things. So another thing in there that also is under the unrealistic category is unrealistic change of pace. This is for all of the people in the world who on January 1st say, I'm going to start going to the gym this year, or I'm going to start eating better this year, or I'm going to start whatever it is this year. And they think that they're going to go from zero to perfect. And maybe they do for about a week, but that change of pace, that change of status quo is not sustainable. It causes exhaustion, it causes burnout, and you go back to what's comfortable. So in the blog post and the newsletter preceding today's webinar, I talked about this idea of running the marathon. In brief, what I mean here is that a marathon is a huge, huge thing. It's a huge commitment, not just in the training process, but in the day that you're actually going to do it. You put a lot of physical strain on your body. It's a huge accomplishment when you do it. But there tends to be a very long training period running up to it. And I think it's one of those things where we're all quite conscious of people who want to do a marathon have to do all these steps first. You don't just show up and run whatever it is, 26.2 miles or something like that. Nobody does that. Nobody just shows up and runs 26.2 miles. Perhaps some people do, and perhaps they do it just fine. But there are a very, very small percentage of people who have already trained in other ways. They have already established a sense of, well, it's misspelled, but they've already gotten rid of this sense of inefficacy. They know, they have a very deep belief that they are able to do this thing if they just show up and run that thing. However, I feel like so many people come to travel writing and just show up and expect that they're going to do the thing without having a type of marathon training. So I'm going to look in a second at a quote-unquote marathon training plan, and we're going to look at how that can work for you. But first, I want us to think about, what's our marathon? Some people have said some in the chat box, but I want us to think about what, for now, just for the purposes of the remaining, say, half hour that we have today, what is a goal that you're going to use for right now, because we're going to do an exercise, to plan as your marathon? What is something that you can see on the horizon that you know you want to meet it in a certain amount of time, and it's big, and it requires you to be a bit of a different person than you are now to get there? What is your marathon? Let us know in the chat box. Some ideas here. I talk in the six-figure travel writing roadmap about how there's three main drivers, three main motivations for travel writers. Obviously, we all want to travel. We want to see the world. We want to teach other people about how culture, exposure to other cultures can change them. But they tend to fall into these three categories: freedom, bylines, and trips. So a lot of you earlier voiced goals that related to bylines. You have a certain publishing marker that you want to hit. So that might be that you want to be in a certain publication, or you want to get your first clip or something like that. Or maybe you want to get your first thing where an editor has assigned you an article. You want to have a relationship with a certain type of magazine, like a trade magazine. But some of you have goals that are related to freedom. And if you have a goal that seems like it's just about money, it's probably related to freedom. So say you want to have a recurring gig. Say that's your goal. That's related to freedom because you want to be free from having to think about where your money comes from every month, right? You want to have that recurring gig set up so that you know what it is that's going to be in your bank account every month, right? You want to be free from the fear and from the wandering. So some folks have trip goals. I have somebody that I coach who I think this is one of her goals for the year is to get on her first press trip. You guys have probably heard my opinions about press trips, and obviously individual press trips can be great, but getting on a group press trip can also be great for networking. So if you're new, that can be a really great thing just to get in front of some editors in a really casual setting. So if you have a goal to get on a group press trip, that's one. You could have a goal that this is the year you're actually going to go to blah, blah, blah place. And related to that, to make that work, is that, you know, you want to place a certain number of articles about that place before you get there. So keep dropping your goal into the chat box and try to make it something that we can work with today. So I'm going to workshop a couple of these ones that are here. So Stephanie says her goal is freedom. She needs her income to be stable. So when she moves overseas, it is not impacted by where she lives. So in this case, for Stephanie, I would recommend that for the purposes of the exercise that we're going to do today, that she picks a specific income goal. She probably has one already, that she needs to earn a certain number of a month, or she needs to have a certain amount in her savings. So Stephanie, I recommend you to pick a certain number, either per month or that you want to have in your savings that we can work with for now. So Leslie's also says she wants to make money, but she has a need to express herself and communicate with others. So Leslie, I wonder if your goal is more around getting a specific clip or a specific type of clips or a specific number of clips, or if it's just to make a certain amount of money. Let us know. Yeah, and Marilyn's got one, decent income leading to freedom, and I know she's got a job in the science field that I find quite fascinating, but she wants to be a travel writer. So Marilyn, I think you're still in your full-time job. Let us know what number, or think about it for yourself, guys, if you don't want to share in the chat box. What is the number that you need to be free, to leave your full-time job and freelance? We've got another one in here, bylines. Catherine's looking to build relationships with a dozen editors, especially local pubs and airline magazines. This is a great one, guys. A dozen pubs. Build relationships with a dozen editors. That's great for what we want to do today. Jade's got one, to have 25 to 33% of her income from travel writing. That's great. So Jade, what I would say for that is to take whatever number you have for your income goal and just take that 25 to 33% and turn that into a specific number. Sally's got one for bylines and well-respected magazines and hopefully the good amount of money that comes with that. So Sally, I'd love for you to pick either, first pick a number of bylines that you want to have, and then what's the bar for those magazines? When you say well-respected magazines, does that just mean national? Does it mean national newsstand? What are we looking for there? Stephanie's got three per month now. That's great. Beth says she wants a portable income. I'd love to know what income that needs to be, because portable, like, that's a big kind of qualifier there that could go a lot of different ways. So for us to have a marathon-oriented goal, it's got to be a marathon as an event. It takes, you know, 4 to 12 hours, whatever, depending on how long you do it, and it's going to happen on a certain day. Christine's got, she wants to have 2 repeat gigs and 5 additional writing assignments by June. Great, that's 2. So Christine, pick one of the 2 of those that you can work through today as we set out your marathon plan. Mackenzie's got bylines are her primary goal for now, and freedom is the long-term goal. Mackenzie was just at our boot camp, so I know a little bit about these goals. So Mackenzie, for today, why don't you pick something in the byline area, or you could pick the freedom number goal if you want, but why don't you pick something in the byline area in terms of you want one byline from a specific type of publication, or you want to get 10 clips in your portfolio, something like that. Jake's got a great one. He's got 2,000 per month from travel writing he wants, preferably through recurring gigs. Great, that's a good one. Hold on to that. We've got Aline has 5,000 monthly income, 3 content marketing clients and 2 trade magazine clients. Great. So Aline, for this exercise, why don't you pick one of those 2. You want to either focus in on the trade magazine clients or the content marketing clients. And then Elise has got 4K a month of recurring income. Great, great. So I know that a couple of you, I kind of mentioned like some ways to fix it. I've gone through a bunch of them. I feel like I've gone through at least 20, but maybe less. So hopefully everybody now has a marathon goal. So again, for the marathon aspect of it, it's got to be something specific, right? A marathon is an event that you sign up for, you put the date in your calendar, you know what day it's coming up. So for all of us, for all of you that have chosen a goal for right now that doesn't already have a specific date on it, let's pick a date. What's the date that we can put on that, right? How can we turn this into a marathon that's in our calendar that we know we have to prepare for? So when I was at the coaching program the other day, the individual who was running the program was coaching me as an exercise in front of some other people. And he was asking me about something specific. And I kind of resisted putting a date on it. And so if you feel like you don't know what date this needs to happen, say you're in a job right now and you want to leave sometime, but you don't know when. Look at it this way. Would you still want to be in your job in 5 years? Would you still want to be in your job in 2 years? Would you still want to be in your job in 1 year? I know for some folks on here, you have a specific cycle that you're looking at, like maybe you have a bonus cycle that you want to leave at the after you get your next bonus. If you don't have something so specific like that, think about your life and think about 2 years from now. How would you feel like if you were still in that job? Say you're already freelance. There's several people in here that are already freelance, and maybe you freelance doing a different type of writing and you want to have more of it be doing travel writing. Maybe you're just starting to freelance or you've been freelancing for a while, but your income isn't what you'd like it to be. So if you feel like you don't have a very clear idea of when you want this numeric goal to come into play. So we've got a couple of people that have said 2,000 per month, 4,000 per month, 5,000 per month, 3,000 per month, a third of the income per month. If you don't know when you want that to come into play, do the same exercise. If you did not have $4,000 a month in recurring income in March of next year, would you feel okay? What about September of next year? What about September of this year? What about July of this year? When do you start to feel uncomfortable if you haven't achieved that goal? So if your goal doesn't automatically have a date on it, doesn't automatically have that date that marathon is scheduled for, backtrack it. Think about when to you feels too far out to not have achieved that by. Okay, I know for myself, I quit my job once and I went back, not to the same job actually, but a different job. Which was in travel, so it made me feel better. It was in travel and writing. But I still started to feel uncomfortable even in that job because I really knew that I wanted to work for myself. But it took something specific that was forcing me out of that job, which was that I was going to get married and the person I was going to get married to lived on the other side of the country, so I needed to move there anyway and quit my job to force me into that. But then once I set that date on it, once I said, okay, June, I'm out of here. I'm going to start working on my blog. I'm going to start working on clips. I'm going to start working on partnerships. I'm going to build up my savings. I had all of that in mind for June. But once I set that goal of, okay, I'm going to get out of Dodge by June, and I started doing all these things to work towards it, I actually left in March because I put a date on it and I started working toward it and I was actually able to get there faster. So for now, we want you to just put a date on it. We want it to be the date. You can put it as far out as you want or as close as you want. But we want it to be like the sell-by date. Like if you haven't done whatever this goal is, and again, pick one. If you had two things in there, like travel content marketing clients and trade magazines, pick one for now, or just pick the money. Because we can't accomplish all of these things with one plan, guys. So pick one of the things. So if you said you want to have two print articles per month, but $2,000, pick one of those two things for now. Okay, so hopefully everybody's got a one thing, a single thing, and they've got a date. If you don't have both of those things, let me know in the chat box and I can workshop a couple more of these. But we want to have a single thing and we want to have a date. So you can almost think that this is the thing that you put on your calendar and you email your spouse and your friends. And I recommend that you do this, guys, by the way. I recommend that you do this. You're going to put it on your calendar and you are going to email your spouse and your friends. And you're going to say, hey, guys, you know, sometimes people run marathons. I'm going to do blah. And this is the day I'm going to do it on. This is my marathon. Okay, so if you have friends that are good with that, if you have a significant other or spouse, I really recommend doing this because accountability and community is a really important part of reaching your goals. Now, what I don't want you to do is to go post this in a Facebook group where there's like 4,000 people. You want to tell this, you can, but the more important thing when I say community and accountability is to tell people who care about you, who interact with you regularly, who will ask you, hey, you told me you're going to run this travel writing marathon. How's that going? You're going to do it by September, right? Are you on track to do that? You want that level of uncomfortable accountability. People who you might have to explain yourself to if you're not actually getting there. And this is why it's important to pick something that's one thing and it's simple and that you can put a date on it, okay? So if you don't feel comfortable doing that, that's fine, but it will give you a huge boost knowing that you have the potential negative outcome of having to explain to people why you're not doing something is a big driver psychologically. We are wired to seek pleasure and avoid pain. So by setting yourself up to potentially have pain in close personal relationships by telling somebody that you're failing is going to be a big motivator for a lot of people. Okay, Patty's got a great one. Two pitches accepted by March 31st, except that's 2 weeks from now. And I would recommend sending like 120 pitches if you want to make sure to make that happen. So make sure that your dates are reasonable for your level of experience right now. This is a really big one, okay? So I talked about this in the blog post and the newsletter leading up to today, that you want to make sure that your plan for getting somewhere is achievable. So I'm just going to go forward for a second to show you the slide, and then we'll go back. So this is the marathon training schedule for like an actual half marathon training, okay? So you'll see here that it's 10 weeks, and the half marathon is 13 miles. So if you're somebody, for instance, who feels comfortable running 4 or 6 miles, because this starts with running 3 or 4 miles. So let's say you're somebody who's comfortable with running 3 or 4 miles. It's going to take you 10 weeks to train for this half marathon. But what if you're somebody who's not comfortable running at all, and you're not even super comfortable walking a mile all at once? Then your half marathon training plan is not going to be 10 weeks. Your half marathon training plan is going to be more like 6 months, okay? So when you choose your date, make sure that you've got your own physical stamina as relates to your goal in mind. So that means if you're not super comfortable pitching, or if you're not in a great place with your pitches, like they take you a long time to write, you haven't gotten any acceptances, you don't know why, then this might be something that you're more in that not yet walking for a whole mile segment. So you got to think about it that way. Okay, so it sounds like, I haven't had anybody ask, so it sounds like everybody's got their one thing and their date. So this is what we're aiming to do. So if you guys have a piece of paper or you want to open up Excel, you can just look at this now to kind of know for yourself, this is what we're going towards. A number of weeks, what we do to get there. Now, I'm going to go back and talk about how we build that. So we need benchmarks for our goals. And when we talk in a business setting about benchmarks, people typically think of benchmarks as kind of a comparing to the status quo, comparing to the people that are going well, as a point that means that you are on track, okay? I like to think of benchmarks as more the actual specific words in there. So a bench on your run that marks that you've reached a certain point. And the fact that it's a bench also means that you get to sit there and take a rest. So let's think of benchmarks that way. Let's think of benchmarks as a place along your training or in your marathon or whatever analogy that you want to use, where you've reached something and you say, oh, I've gotten here. I feel so happy. I know that I've reached 3 miles in one run or whatever that is. And now I get to sit and take a second on this bench and celebrate it and mark the occasion, okay? So it's a place where you stop and rest and mark the occasion. Now, we get to do these on so many different levels. I'll explain how they work. So if you are somebody who is a full-time freelancer, you should absolutely have daily benchmarks for yourself. Absolutely. Without question, especially if you're not currently hitting your income goals. If you are currently hitting your income goals and your goal is something different, maybe you don't need a daily benchmark. But if your goal is in any way related to income, I want you to have a daily goal. If you are not currently full-time freelance, it might not make sense in your mind to have a daily goal because you aren't working on your freelancing every day. But here's the thing. really encourage you, even if you aren't full-time freelance, to be honest with yourself about the number of days that you work and that you need to work to reach your goals, and at least have a daily goal for those days. So it might be you only work on your freelancing on weekends. It might be that you work on your freelancing on evenings, but not weekends because that's your time with your kids. It might be that you work on your freelancing not on the weekends because that's your time with your kids, and not every weeknight because you have certain things that you have to do on certain weeknights, like go to your kids' basketball game or something like that. So 3 days a week in the evenings or mornings, you're working on your freelancing, okay? Or perhaps you're in some sort of job where you can work like 9 out of 10 days or 4 out of 5 days or something like that. And you do have like a full day that you work on your freelancing. So for the days that you are working, you should have a daily goal. Now, that daily goal should be purely numeric so that it is trackable. What are some options here? You can do it by time. You can do it by deliverable. Or you can do it by income. Here's what I mean by that. Okay, by time. So say you, either because you have a whole other job or because your blog is your job or something like that, say this part of your freelance travel writing life can only take up a very, very small amount of each day, like maybe an hour, maybe less. Then you set yourself a 15-minute mark every day or a half hour mark. You set yourself a timer. You say, my goal is that I need to spend this amount of time every day. What if we're doing it on the deliverable level? What I mean by that is to say, I'm a full-time freelancer. I can make time for this. I can make sure I'm using my time effectively. I'm going to send one pitch every day. There was somebody who I coach who wanted to really, really up her game in terms of the magazines that she was working with. And so she set herself a goal to send out 100 pitches in January or December. I think it was December. 100 pitches in December. And she only ended up sending 30. And a lot of them were similar to other pitches that she tweaked for a new publication. And she sent a lot of them to really big, scary outlets. And she was like, oh, I only sent 30. My goal was 100. And the thing is that she is a person who tends to do things at the end of the month. She tends to do them like right before whenever they're due. So with her, to have split those into 3 pitches every day that she had to do would have made that 100 goal much more doable, because what ended up happening was towards the end of the month, she was sending like 10 pitches a day. So the reason that we break out a deliverable into daily benchmarks is to avoid that, to avoid it all happening at the end. So if you have a goal that's around breaking into a certain number of magazines, doing it by pitches is great. If you have a goal that's to earn a certain number of dollars, but you already have a place you can write as much as you want, you can also make it 2 deliverables. You can say, I need to write 3 blog posts for, you know, blah, blah, blah company every single day in order to earn this much to meet this thing. Now, if you want to do money, if your goal is straight money, then the daily level for that, somebody's got 3K a month. There's about 22 working days a month. We can just call it 20. But $3,000 over the course of the month is about $136 a working day. Okay, so that's Monday through Friday. So that would be your benchmark, your daily benchmark. But that would be your benchmark for the end of the line, right? That would be your benchmark for when you have reached. So this is the really important thing to remember, right? That this half marathon training schedule that we have, at the end, your goal is to run this 13.1 miles. But in the beginning, you don't do that every single day. So your daily level, your daily goal, if your goal is to earn 3K, your daily goal isn't going to start out at $136. Your daily goal might start out at $20. And then it'll become $40. And then it'll become $60. And then $80. And then $100. And then $120. And then you'll realize you've gotten so good at increasing this that you'll just push right past 136 and you'll make it 140 and then you'll make it 200 and then it'll be 250 and then it'll be 350 and it'll keep going like that. So what about weekly goals? I think these are ones that some folks might already have. A lot of people tell me that they, and I'm certainly guilty of this, that your life with travel and other things in your life and whatnot makes it impossible to set goals on anything less than a monthly level. So let me know, just show of hands in the chat box, if you feel like you've just got so much variance in your life, it's hard to set anything but on a monthly level. So this is one of the reasons that the marathon training plan, to go back to this slide for a second, has different things all the time is that you're not every week going to be able to do the same things that you did the week before, just like you're not going to do the same things every day, and just that you're not going to do the same things every month. At the end of month one here, they're running 3 miles and 5 miles and 3 miles and 8 miles. But at the end of month two, they're running 4 miles and 5 miles and 4 miles and 9 miles. It keeps going up slightly. So the most important thing about having weekly level goals is that you are generous with yourself. Daily level goals are about setting consistency. Weekly level goals are about being generous with yourself. So your daily goals should be very, very small, but your weekly goals should be something that gives you a really nice bench. So what I mean by that is, well, having a daily goal like spending 15 minutes or writing one pitch or earning $20 a blog post. These are all your kind of like starter goals, right? Having a daily goal as a bench. At the end of the day, we sit on the bench and we look back at our day and we say, yeah, I did something. I'm working on this, right? So the weekly level goal needs to produce that same feeling without us overestimating what we can realistically do in a week. So I really recommend that you don't just have your weekly goal be a multiplier of all of your daily goals put together. It's really important to make sure that your weekly goal is not just a multiplier of your daily goal. You want that bench to be different. That bench we sit on at the end of the day and look back at the week, at the day, is going to be different than the week, right? A week is a bigger thing. We have to have a different thing to look forward to. We have to have a different bench. So when I was training for this half marathon that I ran with my husband, I was living in Boston at the time, and Boston's got this really great thing where they've got this river. It is between Boston and Cambridge, and they have bridges at these different intervals, which for runners makes it so easy to say, okay, if I do this circle, which consists of these two bridges and these two parts of the riverbank, that's this many miles. If I go one more bridge, then that's this many miles. So you want, at the end of the week, you want to be looking literally like you want to be from a different bridge. You want to have a different viewpoint. So what that might mean is that if you are starting really small and you have 15 minutes a day as your benchmark, then at the end of the week, you want to say you sent one pitch or you completed one article or you got one blog post up. If your daily goal is money, if your daily goal is $20 a day, $40 a day, whatever it is, then at the end of the week, you want to say that you got one new assignment, or that you contacted an editor you'd never contacted before, or that you finished an article that you had been assigned. If your daily goal is deliverables, like setting a pitch every day, then at the end of the goal week, then your goal can be a dollar amount. Okay, so make your weekly goal different. Now, monthly goals are something that, as I alluded to before, it's really easy to have and then realize very close to the end of the month that you're not hitting them. So I really like tying either your daily or your weekly goal into what your monthly goal is, so that you know along the way that you are on track to hit that. And maybe you even hit it early. So if your daily goal is time, your monthly goal can be time, and so on. So that way, you know, if you are currently in another job, especially if that job is really demanding and you work 60-hour weeks, your monthly goal can be something as simple and forgiving as putting in 8 hours in the course of the month or 10 hours in the course of the month into your travel writing. And your daily goal goes into that, so that over the course of the month, you're sitting on these benches and you know that you've done a little bit and you get to take a rest. And then by the end, you can look back and say, wow, I've moved somewhere. But what happens is each week, I'm going to go back over to the marathon now. Each we have at the end of the month, because we've got the adrenaline, because now the end of the month is coming. You can pump out a little bit more at the end of the month because you've got this feeling of being almost there, right? So as you work through this for yourself, whether you want to do it on paper or in a spreadsheet, have your daily goal be one of those three things, right? It can be deliverable, it can be time, it can be money. Have your weekly goal be a different one of those things. Have your monthly goal tie into either your weekly goal type or your daily goal type. And you can do this exact same thing where you have at the end total. So you see what you're going to hit at the end of the month. Then for the next month, and I really recommend doing these for now at least a quarter at a time, okay? So make 3 months for yourself so that you can see how things will increase every month, okay? So each new month, you're going to start a little higher. So in the first one here, they did 3, 3, 3, and then 4. At the beginning of the next month, they're doing 3, 5, 3, 10. 10 is way bigger. So after this call, when you go back through and do this, like I say, you want to make sure that you have a quarterly level where you'll have gotten somewhere different at the end of the quarter, okay? And that's done by proactively planning out your goals in this marathon type way so that at the end of March or at the end of April, when you're looking at what you're going to do for the next month, you're not just starting over and you're not just saying, oh, well, I didn't get it done last month, so this is the month I'll finally do it. You're going to work incrementally with your daily, weekly, and monthly goals to get there. Okay, so let's talk about how. The tactics, the tips and tricks. So I have lo-fi and hi-fi here, okay? So the fundraising thermometer approach. I bet some of you guys have heard me talk about this before. It is super, super low-tech. It involves a little that has space for you to write your own things in there. So what this little graphic is it doesn't have to have money. You'll see the one here has money. But we talked about three different types of daily benchmarks you could use, right? It could be deliverables, it could be money, or it could be time. And within your thermometer, you have a progression so that the days that you don't hit in absolute your goal, you're still seeing that you got partway there. You're still seeing that you did a little bit on this. Now, this is really important because of this all or nothing mentality that so many people have about goals, which is that you think either I sent a pitch today or I didn't. But maybe you wrote the lead for a pitch. Maybe you matched the idea to a magazine. Maybe you got almost there, but you just couldn't get the right email address, or you just couldn't figure out the title that you wanted to put on there. You want to have something that tracks how far you got each day, even if you didn't get there all the way, to help reinforce your feeling that you're actually doing things, that you're able to do this, even if today it just didn't happen, okay? When you're training for the marathon, even if you run a mile instead of three, you still ran, right? So we want something that tracks that. So this fundraising thermometer is a really great, really low-fi way to do that I love. And this is the one that I put in the chat box with the link. This one's blank, so it doesn't have to be just money, right? This is where you can write time, you can write deliverables, whatever it is that you personally are using. But what about the high-tech approach? I've got something cool for you guys. And this is especially great for everyone who's got too much on their plate and feels like time goes by and then they remember that they had this goal and that they haven't been doing anything towards it. So the reason that I recommend this is that that's like all of us these days, right? There's so much on our plate. Like somebody emails you something and then the next thing you know, you did something else after that, you did something else after that, you did something else after that. It's the next day, you're working all day on something. And then it's the next Monday and you're like, oh my God, but I really meant to launch blah. I really meant to send this pitch. It was almost done. I really meant to get some pitch ideas from this trip and I haven't done that yet. This will keep that from happening. So like I said, it costs $37, but you can try it for free for 7 days. So I really, really, really recommend just to get started, just to get a boost on whatever goal you selected for today, that you download this app, even if you only use it for free for 7 days, you don't have to put in a credit card to download it. So it just gives you the option at the end to continue or not, and you totally don't have to if you don't want to pay for it. But it does this really cool thing where every time your screen goes to sleep or you open your computer or whatever, it shows you your goal. You can put several on there. It's great to have like just 1 to 3, but it pops up and shows it to you. So here's how it works. So I can't show you on my screen because of what I mentioned, like it pops up over everything else. So there's no good way for me to show it to you. So if you can see here, it's got like a whiteout. It whites over the rest of your screen. And then in the middle, there's this box and it says what you're doing today. And it says your 3 goals. Like I said, you have more, but that shows up every single time you open the computer or every time it falls asleep. And you can also toggle to it whenever you want.
Now, it does some other neat things that I know a lot of you guys have a need for stuff like this, is that it allows you to have a work session where you're working on, yeah, Steph had a great name for it, your own personal butt kicker, exactly. It's like an accountability partner that you don't have to depend on, right? Like you don't have to hope that they're also gonna be working hard that day. So it's got these two cool tools, which is one is focus work sessions where you write down, like right now I'm doing this and I'm gonna spend this much time on it. And it allows you to kind of like block out whatever else is not that thing. And it reminds you that that's what you're working on. It's got this little focus session on it and the timer is ticking. Now, an even cooler thing that I really like is how many of us are working on one thing and then we're like, oh no, I have to do this thing. Or, oh, I've got a great idea for a blog post. Or, oh my God, I just figured out what I want my blog to be about that I haven't started. Or I finally know what I'm gonna send that editor who asked me for pitches and I didn't know what to send her. I finally figured it out. Don't go do it right now. Don't drop what you're doing and go do that thing instead. Write yourself a future note. That's what they call it. So you can click from this screen where you are on and you can write yourself a future note and just say, oh my God, I realized I need to do this thing later. And then when you're done with your work session, you look through those notes to yourself. It saves them all for you and it gives it to you when you're done with your task. And then you go, okay, great. Now I'm going to go do this or this. I need to email myself or I need to email this person or I really need to pay that bill right now or whatever it is. But I've talked to a lot of folks who are working on something important, like responding to an editor who's asked them for more pitches, and then they get an email from another editor who wants them to invoice them for something, or an email asking them to join some initiative or a question about their blog or something like that, and they go answer that thing instead. No, you're putting it on your future notes. So again, this tool, which again is designed by somebody I know, so if you have any complaints, you can tell me, I'll tell him, is called Action Alley, and it's available for free for 7 days. And then after that, there's a one-time lifetime license of $37. But as Steph mentioned, it's like having your own personal trainer for getting your work done. So I highly, highly recommend it. I think it's definitely worth it. So that's all I've got for you for today. Hopefully you've had a lot of thoughts about how to set your goals and how to track them and how to figure out if you're not reaching them, why that is, and how to make sure that you're working towards them in attainable ways and that they're attainable in the first place. So it was a pleasure chatting with you guys today, and I hope that it is a lovely weekend for you wherever you are, and I'll see you guys soon.